You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we're talking about Valentine's Day. Should it mean something to you? You know, on tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing the love factor and what Valentine's Day means personally to us and personally to you. You know, it's a holiday that I find people divided on. It's funny how some people think that it's a holiday created by Hallmark to sell more cards and candies, and other people think that it's a holiday that you can show someone else that you love them. Bill, how are you doing?
You know, Ashley, I love you.
Oh, I love you too.
I just wanted to say that. I'm just so filled with love tonight, you know, because Valentine's Day is here.
Oh, I'm blushing, but I'm
very
happy.
Well, there you go. Okay. You know, so good. I was able to kind of, you know.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Zing.
Because, you know, to answer your question, I mean, you know, this holiday is what you make it. It can either be, you know, the commercial monster that it is, or you can, you know, just take it at face value and make it a romantic day with your significant other.
I agree with you. So, we're going to talk about more about what it's supposed to mean to you. We're going to talk about social media, what people think about the holiday. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about the different stages of Valentine's Day, beginning when we were young children and how we feel about it now. Joining us tonight is actually a veteran that's been on this show before, Spencer Bass. He's a pro BMX athlete, and I think he's super cool.
Woof,
Spencer,
woof.
How you doing?
Howdy. I'm doing good. Just came off an airplane and straight here, so I'm pretty excited. So
awesome. That's perfect. See, he cares enough to be here.
I love it. You know, in fact, the fact that he came straight from the airport.
See, didn't stop, didn't try to collect, didn't go eat, just came right here.
Did not pass go, did not collect $200.
I should have collected the $200.
Always collect the $200, yes.
He's going to go do that right after the show. He's like, oh gosh, I got to go back there and get that $200. So we're talking tonight about the concept of Valentine's Day, and I think we should examine the holiday and begin to understand its meaning. I think it has an inherent value, and I think there's a reason why we celebrate it, and there's a reason why some people choose to bypass it altogether. In different stages of our life, I think it's interesting how we either gravitate to it or how we want to run from it as fast as we can. And so let's talk about what Valentine's means to us. You know, I think Valentine's is interesting because it's a set date, right?
Right.
It's a day.
February 14th.
Yeah. And we're supposed to show love to our loved ones and how we feel about them. And so I want to know how people feel about that. And I want to start with our childhood. Let's talk about childhood.
You can do better than that,
like pre-K, Ashley. K, first grade, second grade.
So now you're sounding like a therapist. It's like, let's start with your childhood. That's just kind of stock, isn't
it? Well,
it
all started in my childhood when my mother said this to me.
Exactly.
Seriously, childhood, man. Okay, think about it. Remember when you got the big childhood boxes of Valentine's cards and you got them at the store with your mom?
Yes.
Or whoever went shopping with you, and they had like, they were little small little ones, and they had like a little cartoon character or something on them. They were so cute, and they had like the little envelopes, and you would get like chocolate or like a chocolate hearts or something, and you'd stick them in there, or you put it on the top of it, and people that you liked more got like bigger ones, bigger Valentine's Day cards, and then some of them you just had to give them to the whole class. Remember that when you were a kid?
And yeah. The teacher made you do that, you know, because
the teacher made you do it?
Well, yeah, I mean, she set up, you know, the whole Valentine's Day party. Okay, you will have your, you know, cards in, and
didn't demand it from us. I think we did it out of altruistic love.
Well, there you go.
Well, like, it wasn't like exactly demanded, but if you didn't bring Valentine's, you were that kid that didn't bring Valentine's for anyone.
Right.
So it was like you had to, but you didn't have to. So
there was strong peer pressure. Let's put it that way.
Remember when we made boxes? Did y'all make the boxes where you have like, You create like a shoebox.
Yes.
You get a shoebox and you like, you know, wrap it up with like different hearts, and you cut the hearts from the middle of the construction paper. Remember how you take the two pieces of construction paper and push it together, fold it together, and cut the heart out.
Right.
And sometimes you'd screw it up and it'd be like a ball.
And I am a horrible artist, and I always, you know, it never came out exactly heart shaped for me. It looked like a bat or a butterfly or something like that rather than a heart.
It's kind of cool.
I had a triangle. It was okay. People understood. But if you see with that box, if not everyone brought Valentine's, then not everyone's boxes got filled. So it was like, for the boxes to get filled, if you build it, they will come. Well, you gotta...
Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time is Field of Dreams.
If you build it, they will come. And a movie I've actually seen, Ashley.
You've seen that movie? It's one of my favorites. I have seen that movie.
I've seen it multiple times, actually. Tell you what, one of these days, Ash is, you know, do you know the backstory between us? You know, because I hardly watch any movies at all. She watches everyone that comes out.
Yeah, and I don't watch any movies. I don't think I was born yet when that one came out either.
Well,
jeez. Puts it all in perspective, doesn't it?
Perspective.
That was a painful perspective right there, actually. I don't think I was born yet. Oh,
I know.
God.
Thanks a lot.
That was like an arrow to the heart. It wasn't a good one. It wasn't a Cupid arrow at all.
I got to make myself feel young sometimes. So that's when I have to do that.
I remember when I used to be the youngest in the group. And I never did that because I realize now, like, when you have, like, the one youngest person and they go, I don't even know who the Beatles are. And you're like, you don't know who the Beatles are? I wasn't born when the Beatles, like, were around, but I still know who the Beatles are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how do you not know who the Beatles are? I mean,
Field of Dreams, maybe not so much. But, yeah. I mean, it was a good movie to me, but maybe not to everybody.
Well, I liked it very much. Yeah, it's one of my favorite all-time movies.
You know, I liked creating those boxes in school, and I remember we create them, and you put, like, the little opening at the top, and people would, like, slide.
Yeah, so it's like the ballot box.
Yeah.
You know, it's like only you put reconstruction paper over it, but it's the shoe box, and you kind of cut the slit in the top and cover it with construction paper and the pink hearts and whatnot. And you go, you know, you put it on the front of your desk or the corner of your desk, and you go around the room. You know, it's almost like Halloween, actually, because then you got the, you know, your bag or whatever, and you just go around and you start putting cards in everybody's box.
I used to put candy on mine, though, too. I'd give candy out.
I don't remember if we did candy.
Well, see, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure for Valentine's Day, Halloween and Christmas, we all made boxes and put them on our desk, and that's how we exchanged gifts in the classroom.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how it went down. It was the same thing. It was different decorations on the box, but it was a class project to make the box, and then you all kind of had to bring gifts to that, so it just kind of did itself.
We never did Christmas. I think my schools were already into that no holiday deal, as far as religious secular holiday. So we didn't do anything, but I remember saying Pledge of Allegiance. I remember doing that.
Got it.
Even when you were in the bathroom, you would wait to go to the bathroom and stand and put your hand over your heart and whatever and say the pledge, which is funny
and
how you look at
that. God help you if you sneezed or coughed or
we're
whatever.
We're saying the Pledge of Allegiance here.
It's like,
God have some freaking respect.
Yes.
Seriously.
Or we will, you know, do whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
So, yes, love was like, I think to me as a child, love was like highly accepted. Like, it was something that people did, especially for Valentine's Day. Like, you got these things and everybody gave each, everybody one. Nobody was excluded. And yes, I mean, our teachers didn't breathe down our neck. I think most people just wanted to do it. I mean, in my opinion, it was more altruistic.
Well, and I think, of course, I'm dating a teacher right now, and I honestly think it's more along the lines of, keep the little, brats busy.
Yeah, that's why I said it was like a class project. But, you make the box, and then you all do it. So,
so that was to keep them busy?
It's one of these secular holidays, that...
secular?
Valentine's Day? Well, it's become a secular holiday, yeah.
Roman in the very beginning, but nobody looks at it like a saint of any sort, like, a martyred saint. Nobody looks at that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why it's February 14th is because it's St. Valentine's feast day in
there's actually a meaning behind Valentine's
Day? There is a St. Valentine, yeah.
And I never knew that.
Which is why he's the saint. Yeah. Now, what he's the saint of, I'm not Catholic myself, so I don't know, all the whole backstory behind that. But anyway, just like a lot of holidays that have become secular holidays, it started out as, Catholic saints feast days, and they just morphed over the years, over the centuries, So Valentine's Day is probably the best known of them. It's the day, romance between couples. And it was based upon a Roman pagan holiday.
It was actually based upon a saint, I believe, that was actually marrying couples that were not legally supposed to get married. Like, they were in the service or something like that. Uh-huh. And they weren't actually allowed to get married, but they were actually doing that out of love.
Okay.
But it was against the law. I think that was part of it, too.
Is it? Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Some crazy stuff. We'll look at it on break.
How does Cupid fit into all that? And was Cupid the saint?
Cupid is the, he's the Roman, Greco-Roman god of love.
Really?
So.
I need to go back to school.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to study up on your Greek mythology. Study up on your Greek mythology.
I don't know if they teach that in school.
They did when I was in school. We learned Greek mythology and Norse mythology.
You did?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, though. Now they don't even teach people how to, like, cursive anymore.
I don't even know who the 33rd president of the United States was, so.
Wow.
They didn't teach us that.
Well, I don't know who the 33rd president was, but I'd have to, you know, Google it. You know, Wikipedia. Maybe that's why I don't teach that stuff anymore. You can just Google it.
There you go. Google is the teacher.
I don't know. I mean, they don't even teach people how to actually write in cursive anymore.
No.
I can't write cursive. When I sign my name in an autograph, it's just S scribble, B scribble. And it's not actually like cursive.
Anything.
Yeah, it's just S scribble, B scribble. I can't write cursive or read cursive to save my life. If my grandma writes me a Christmas card and it's in cursive, I have to have someone translate it for me because I
cannot
read it.
That's hilarious.
Translating.
That's hilarious.
I love that. You got to translate it. We have translators here right now to translate anybody's Valentine's cards that they get from their grand. Okay, we can do that right now on the air live.
Just get on Facebook or Twitter.
So when we return, we'll be talking more about what we think about Valentine's Day and what it should mean to you. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we're talking about Valentine's Day. What should it mean to you? You know, I think a lot of people are divided on this holiday, and some people think it was created only to sell cards and candy and roses and to spend a lot of money on dinner at restaurants that you're basically busting it out as fast as you can get in there, having mediocre food and paying a lot of money for a price-fixed menu. Other people think it's a good time to show others how you feel, that you love them. And so right before the break, we started reminiscing about our childhood. And I'm sure everybody listening kind of feels the same about when you were in, like, kindergarten and, like, first, second, third, fourth grade, that kind of thing. I think all the way through elementary school, honestly. You would give Valentine's, like, to everybody in the class. And we talked about the cool little boxes that we'd make, and you'd put the Valentine's in there. And I think it was kind of like an altruistic thing because I think everybody kind of cared about other people. And I think that's what's so interesting is that as children, a lot of times when we get older, we seem to bully or we get teased or whatever. But I think in elementary school, like, nobody wanted to hurt anybody's feelings, you know? I mean, like, nobody went out there and said, no Valentine's for you. I mean, at least I didn't see that. And everybody kind of cared. And I think that when we started getting older is when people started, like, dividing up and there started to become these cliques and people started to make, you know, I don't know, examples out of people. And I feel that way because I remember when everybody was so nice in elementary school. And then we went to middle school together. And we went to high school. And then we get to our high school, like our senior year. And you see how some people have been so close in elementary school and they don't speak anymore because now that person's a nerd or that person's a dork or that person's overweight or that person's not a cheerleader.
Well, yeah. And you know, of course, maybe we owe an apology to our listeners. We got on a tangent there at the end of the first segment there. But yeah, I mean, You know, Valentine's Day is a secular holiday now. It didn't start that way, but it is now. And, you know, you want to teach children, like you're saying, you know, that everybody's included and it's a, you know, day, you know, all about love. Of course, now, you know, school age children, you got this thing of, ew, yuck, girls, or ew, yuck, boys, you know, that type of thing. So it's kind of like, you know, the school dance, you know, you got to kind of have to force the boys and the girls to, you know.
But in elementary school, I don't feel like it was that way at all.
It wasn't my elementary school. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
what were y'all on, like, steroids? I mean,
I don't know if you had school dances at your elementary school.
Not in elementary school.
But,
never.
They would have parent,
school dances chaperone. In elementary school.
Yeah. You know, and,
we never had that.
In fact, in PE class, they teach us how to dance. And so we'd go
to an art school or
no public school, huh. You know.
Interesting. They never try to get us all together in a room.
Yeah, didn't have that.
No,
never.
Well, I mean, yeah,
cotillion. We had cotillion in like middle school.
What's that?
It was like a separate like organization that would teach you how to ballroom dance and stuff like that, and then you'd have to like learn how to ballroom dance or.
No, we learned that in PE.
We learned how to play with a big parachute, sitting on a big parachute and flapping in the air in PE. That's pretty much all we learned in PE.
That's awesome. I want a parachute. Oh, by the way, the 33rd president is Harry Truman. Just
aha,
FYI.
Harry Truman.
Number 33 is one of my favorite numbers.
Give him hell, Harry.
See, look at that. 33. I'm a big number numerology person, and 33 is one of my favorite.
33 is a good
parallel.
Number.
That's 33rd parallel. See? He gets it. He gets it. So earlier before the break, remember we were talking about the history of Valentine's, and Astor was accurate. It's about the account of St. Valentine of Rome, that he was imprisoned for performing weddings for soldiers who were forbidden to marry and for ministering to Christians who were persecuted under the Roman Empire.
Well, there you go. So you paid attention in Catholic school.
Yes, I had to.
To all the saints and what they're for, and you know, it's a good thing I didn't go because I just don't have the memory for that kind of thing.
They would have kicked your butt. The nuns would have kicked your butt.
They would have. I would have gotten that paddle branded like you know.
Spencer got his paddle. Did you ever get the paddle?
I actually never had to get the paddle. My parents took care of it whenever I got home.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I was never in school. They were just like, all right, you know what? We're going to call your parents.
When I was in grade school, they allowed teachers to do the paddling.
Yeah. They did it at my school too, but they knew that if they told my parents, I was going to be more bummed out on the situation.
My mother actually went to the teachers at the beginning of every year and said, okay, if he does something wrong, you paddle him, then call me so I can do it. So I got both ends.
Damn,
so
on.
Yeah, my mom was she wasn't kidding. So.
I knew better not to do anything till I was a lot older, and then I made some serious mistakes. But as a young kid, I was good except for talking. I was a talker, and
you never grew out of it. I was gonna say you were just waiting for me to say something on that.
I mean, you're on the radio, so
yeah, it kind of helps to be a talker if you're gonna radio show.
I just realized that. I remember seeing a yearbook picture, actually two different years in a row. Second grade, and a first grade picture, and first grade, and like a fourth grade picture, and it was all from the yearbooks. You know, when you look at them, and they were really thin yearbooks because they were in elementary school. But there would always be a picture of me like smiling in class, and you would see behind me the chalkboard, and on the chalkboard you would see Ashley, and there would be four checks to the right of my name. And that was
talking
right before I was sent down to the office.
Talking in class.
Like, I made the yearbook picture, and then I said something else, and they were like, Ashley, you're going to walk down to the principal's office now! And I'd be like, oh, crap.
So you did the perp walk.
What's that? The
perp walk.
What's that?
You know what a perp walk is? You know, like when criminals are in handcuffs and they walk before the cameras? Well, kind of the same thing. You got to get sent to the principal's office. You got to walk down the long hallway.
I would just walk as slow as possible.
See, what's even more awesome about that is
that's the perp walk.
They just, at that age, they're like, you walk to the office, and they're like, and you're like, oh, and you walk to the office. Some kids figured it out and didn't go to the office, but as a general rule, like, you were like, oh, and you walk to your fate.
Yeah, it's like
you willingly do that.
Like you,
right.
Like you're going to the gallows or something. Yeah. But yeah, you willingly, it didn't occur to most kids to just take off. Some kids.
I'm going out that door right there. Nope, you would go down there.
It would have gotten worse, though, if you would have gone out that door. We might not be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
You know,
but
some of those kids went out that door. Some of my friends went out that door several times. And yeah, it turned
Ashley,
into more than that.
Ashley was such a good girl that not only did she put Valentine's in everybody's boxes, but she also memorized, you know, all the saints, including St. Valentine.
I have a book on all the saints. It's very thick, by the way. And it has a picture of each saint. And then it has the picture of each saint. And what the saint did.
That's nice.
I'm still laughing about what you just said. But, and it defines what the saint was or what martyrs and whatever they did that created that saint. Anyway, so yeah, but it's memorizing that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff right there to memorize.
But, you know, all these years later, we're doing a show on St. Valentine, so you knew enough to give us the backstory on who the heck St. Valentine was. So.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I think it's interesting that you talked about walking to the gallows or walking to your own fate. You know, I think it's interesting how we were so authentic and really true to the source. We were so, like, kids are, like, really close to the source. And anybody that's listening that have children, you know how your kid goes up and touches a tree? You know how your kids love animals? You know how your kids love the outdoors? Don't change that. Let them be that way, because as a kid, we love everybody. I mean, you love everybody. You don't have all these walls up. You don't have your ego at stake. You're not over there trying to defend the way you look toward other people and all this fake stuff. It's like that fake stuff doesn't even enter our heads until years later. And once that enters, I think that begins in the teenage years when you start getting punked. You know, it's like, it's like you have problems because it just sucks, because you have people that are like, they're going to beat on you, or they're going to tease you, or they're going to be tough on you, or they're going to bully you, or they're going to make fun of you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I at least in my case anyway, the origins of it were in grade school. Because, like we were saying earlier, you know, it's like in my school, you know, they did these activities to kind of make the boys and girls mix. You know, so we, you know, we had this parent chaperone school dances, you know, and the boys would line up on one wall and girls would line up on the other wall. And, you know, your mothers would like drag us by the ear and basically make
us
do.
I can't believe that they exposed you to that in elementary school. Yeah, I really think that was a little bit of pushing like the sexual envelope.
And,
I mean,
and maybe
you're
so.
Not supposed to be looking at boys and girls like that. You're supposed to all be dancing in a circle together.
But see, here's the
kumbaya,
reason.
Kumbaya, running around.
Here's the reason why, though. It's because, you know, on a holiday like Valentine's Day, okay? So, you know, here we give cards. You know, to everybody, and inevitably at recess, you know, it was like, oh, Bill loves Betty, and you know, that started, you know, in grade school for me, and
poor Bill.
Well, and for a lot of the other kids too, you know, it's like, you know, do you love her, you know, that type of thing.
Yes or no, check.
So,
or maybe.
So at that age, you know, I mean, it, you're still in the ooh, yuck girls and ooh, yuck boys stage.
See, I wasn't at the yuck stage at all. I wasn't even at that stage yet. Like, I didn't even see a boy as a boy. I just saw a boy as, like, another person.
Girls had cooties when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
And I don't know
for me, too. Yeah.
I don't know how that just, like, it's like a medical anomaly. I guess they grow out of it when they leave, you know, middle school and elementary. But, yeah, when I was that age, they had cooties, for sure.
What are cooties, so, by the way?
It's you know, it's the you
ooh,
know,
you
disease.
Cooties.
It's a disease that girls have, you know, that.
Well, then boys had it, too, then.
But boys never have anything. Come on. Boys are just upstanding and perfect.
If boys got cooties, they had to have gotten it from girls. That's
yeah, because remember, Spencer, yep. You had to, like, you know, disinfect yourself. You know, yep.
So if a girl touched you, you got it?
She touched me. You know.
Did y'all have a lot of girls touch you in elementary school?
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to get beat up by the girls in elementary school.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was that kid on recess. There was like a gang of them picking on me.
I was never.
Why?
I was never beaten up, but they did make fun of me. Because I had really thick glasses.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, up until my early adulthood. So I got made fun of for that.
You know, just think about, kids suck.
They do.
You know, really just think about it. Like,
kids are mean. And so, sometimes they don't grow out of it. So.
You don't want to talk about how kids suck?
I mean, it just kind of makes you think, like, we look back on those days and, you know, you think that it was happy. And then you see what you actually focus in on something like that. And you're like, wow. Kids weren't always the nicest back then.
Ooh, we'll have to delve into that on this next segment.
I know.
This is interesting. Was this in elementary school or middle school?
I mean, all of it, really. Like, it gets a little more like, I need to watch my mouth when I get older.
Right.
But like you said, you know, you don't hang out with this person, you don't hang out with this person as you get older. Well, that's still the same thing from elementary school, just grown into a more matured version.
Wow.
The origins are there in grade school, though.
Yeah.
At least they were in my school.
That's where it all starts.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, we'll talk more about this, as well as talking about how Valentine's Day changes in our teens as well as in our adulthood. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking about Valentine's Day. We're talking about what it should mean to you. We're talking about the love factor and what it should mean to us this holiday that a lot of people are polarized by, thinking that it's just a way to get money from you for candies and cookies and that sort of thing, or it's a real time to actually say that you love someone. And right before the break, we began talking about how we felt about Valentine's Day when we were in our teenage years. And I think, you know, childhood and teenage years are very different for me, at least. And I think we're more vulnerable when we were, like, in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And we were kind of in that odd time, you know, the odd time where we didn't look exactly right. Maybe our face was a little too big. Maybe we were a little, like, googly. You know, maybe we were a little, like, all feet, all legs, not a lot of coordination. And those years were pretty tough. They were teasing years. They were bullying years. They were years that a lot of people I know got made fun of. I mean, even at school, I know people that got thrown in their lockers all the time. And you would hear somebody, like, screaming from inside a locker, and, you know, you'd have to, like, figure out how to get them, and, you know, like, the building security or the teacher would come out there and be like, now, who locked so-and-so in their locker now.
Fortunately, that never happened to me.
Yeah, I think you were better off with the dancing without the locker thing. Our lockers were only half lockers, so if someone was in there, I'm pretty sure they would be stuck in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're going to be welding them out, cutting them out with one of those torches?
I know, yeah. You have to get the jaws alive or something.
So apparently the dancing worked out as a kid because you guys weren't locking each other in lockers as you got older.
Not in elementary or middle school, anyway. So
in high school, though, it continued for some kids. I knew it continued into high school.
See, we didn't even have lockers in high school.
Why not?
I don't know. The school, like at Trinity, Euless, they didn't have lockers.
So you just carried everything all the time?
You just carried a backpack, yeah.
What about all your books?
Interesting.
We don't have lockers.
I was going to say.
You didn't have books?
You had books for every class, right? You know, and so you had to carry like 5 or 6 books with you?
I don't remember how it worked. It was a long time ago. I think it was a block schedule, so you only did like, I don't remember.
All those many years ago for Spencer. You know, back in my day, we didn't even have lockers.
I wasn't really there much, but I know that we didn't have lockers.
Ah, now the truth comes out. Yes.
I remember I showed up a couple of times. It really wasn't what I liked, and I thought there'd be something better to do, so I decided just to leave.
Well, my principal was really cool that he was like, you know, you're only supposed to miss 5 days semester. We had trimesters. You're only supposed to miss 5 days for that time period each try, and I would always miss more, and because I had to deal with the principal that as long as I kept straight A's, I could travel as much as I went riding. So he was really cool with me missing a bunch. So I just always worked ahead of the class.
Gotcha.
I guess, but I don't think the
smarty.
Role yeah. You know, he worked ahead of
okay,
the class.
Smarty.
I just wanted to ride bikes. That's all it was.
That's so awesome. Yeah, that was not at all my middle school or high school years.
Not mine either.
Wow. That's pretty cool, actually. You know, I think it's interesting, though, like, giving them the Valentine's cards went away. I mean, that really went away in middle school.
Yeah,
I didn't see any of that.
You did it
to your
by
best
choice.
Friend.
Yeah, to your best friend, or, you know, if you were, if you were a guy, if you were interested in a girl. But then you really opened yourself up to, pss, 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 he really likes her.
Or, I can't believe he gave you a Valentine's. I mean, what an idiot.
Yes, that's the other thing, too. Like it's what I call the screech syndrome. You know who I'm talking about? From Saved
Didn't
by the Bell.
Didn't he go to jail recently?
Yes, he did. Yeah,
Poor guy.
Yeah, his life totally screwed up after that show ended. But anyway, you know, Screech was the stereotypical nerd on Saved by the Bell. And so, you know, for the girls, he was always the one you never wanted to get a Valentine's, you know, day card from. So,
oh, that's so sad.
And so, that's
right.
Did you
see that movie, Something About Mary? Something About Mary.
I did not.
It's so funny where he asks this girl out to the prom, and she tells him, she's like, well, I think so-and-so is going to ask me. So, and he's like, so would you like to go? She goes, so if everything else falls to crap, then maybe. And I think middle school is just one of those difficult times, though, where I think we feel like dorks. We feel vulnerable. I don't think Valentine's really is a big deal. I remember making Valentine's for my mom, though. I remember giving my mom a Valentine's card. I remember giving my dad a Valentine's card. I mean, because that's what you do. I mean, is it really necessarily what we wanted to do, or was it because we did it because we were taught to do it?
I feel like the last time I really celebrated Valentine's Day was in fifth grade. And then in middle school, you know, like you said, you just kind of do what you,
but
if you're interested in something.
In your school, though, there probably was like a group of students that, you know, they were the cool kids, I guess, and they made a big deal out of it, and they did it.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to think back. I think it was, you know, if they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but it wasn't like they just all exchanged it with each other. It was only if you were interested in someone.
Yeah, that's
and I don't know if that's exactly a bad thing, because isn't the point of Valentine's Day like for that significant other, the couples thing? So when you're in elementary school, you know, two sides of the story. When you're in elementary school, yeah, you're interacting with a bunch of people and everyone's getting the gifts and it's fair. But when, as you mature into that, it's focusing more on that one person that you are trying to have be your Valentine.
I remember real quick, just to rewind a second, back to fifth grade. Maybe it was fourth grade. I was dating a guy named Jacob Jaggers.
In fourth grade?
You're dating a guy in fourth grade.
Well, I mean, like dating, well, like we gave letters back and forth to each other, or cards or notes or whatever.
Or went to the mall together or whatever.
We went to the mall together. Yeah. And his parents one time took me to Six Flags and my parents took us somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you know how it is. I mean, like dating. I mean, like, I think we kissed like a peck one time. Like, you know. But I remember him giving me a necklace. He gave me a 24-karat gold necklace with this really cool, with a really cool, like, I'm trying to think, like a pearl or something on there. And I remember that was on Valentine's Day. And everybody was like, oh my God. Like, they're giving jewelry. Like, and it was funny because I look back at that and it was so sweet and so cute. But then middle school was just so not that. I mean, like, I felt like I was kind of out of place, a little gangly. You know, just not really. You know, I had acne. A little, not bad.
Me too. I had
not
it bad.
I had like a bad third eye, but not bad. And then, and I just remember though, like, I think that it was just really hard for everybody. And so people were all kind of just acting out, just angry acting out because nobody seemed to fit in. And so everybody, I don't know, it was just odd. It was different. Like there was yeah. no altruistic love then. At
yeah.
all.
Middle school or junior high as we called it in where I grew up. It's those awkward, you know, preteen to the early teen years where you just don't really know who you are and where you fit into society. And but yet you feel this peer pressure to fit into societal norms. And you want to be, you want to kind of look like and act like older people, you know, high schoolers, you know, adults and stuff like that. And you want to be cool that way. And so you want to act older than you are. And so therefore, you know, you see, you know, high schoolers and, you know, adults and whatever, they're making a big deal about Valentine's Day. And so therefore you try to do it, but it always just seems awkward.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about adulthood now. I mean, because I think once you get past the teenage years and that kind of thing, we get to the adulthood. And I think that's interesting because as an adult, we're either past the Valentine's thing or not interested. Unless we see like a potential person that we want to date, and then it's kind of like on. And I think there's something that we need to talk about. And I think this has been swept under the rug long enough. And I don't know about y'all, but I've read some articles on this that you're most likely to get laid as a single male on February 14th than any other day, by the way. Because most women that are single...
Wow, really?
Yeah. If you go out to a bar or a club, I think that your chances are spiked by like 200%.
Wow.
Yeah, because you have a lot of women out there that are sad that they don't have somebody. They're upset that they're not celebrating Valentine's Day with a guy. Because for women, it's a lot more of a big deal. Especially for women that haven't been married.
It's the fantasy thing.
It's a big deal. Yeah. And they want this love and all this. And because what we see on TV, and because of all the hype and circumstance, you know, people think about bubble baths and champagne and caviar dreams. And so a lot of women go out to the clubs and the bars, and they go out in groups, by the way. There's groups. So, I mean, there's like, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And so they go out in groups and they're drinking so heavily, they are, that they're looking for any potential guy.
So what you're saying is that single guys should go out to the clubs on Valentine's Day and prey on single women.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's a politically correct, you know, thing. For
it works every time. Yeah. I don't know anybody that has gone out on Valentine's Day and not had the sleepover. And I'm not advocating it. I'm just pointing out the obvious. I'm just telling the truth, people. I'm not defining it. I'm not saying it's good, better, and different. I'm not reasoning the values behind it. I'm not sitting there saying they have the most best values.
So
in the
don't
world.
Kill the messenger.
Don't you're, kill you're, the messenger. Yeah. Just understand the truth because the truth will set you free. So when we return, we'll be talking more about how February 14th could be your night and also talk about how we deal with it when we're single, we're married, and when we're widowed. So stay tuned because Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about Valentine's Day. What should it mean to you? And right before the break, I was talking about how in adulthood, how we deal with Valentine's Day. It's interesting because things change. If you have somebody, you're happy to spend it with them on Valentine's Day. And it becomes this like sweet thing where I made the reservations and all your friends were like, ooh, so-and-so sent you flowers at work, you know, and it's like this big pomp and circumstance. However, if you're single and it's Valentine's Day, a lot of times Valentine's Day can be the number one day to get laid when you're single. And I'll tell you why is because a lot of times women, especially women, get sad and lonely and are sad because they don't have somebody to spend Valentine's Day with. So I know that I've been personally invited to about three different parties in several different towns and several different cities and actually maybe more like 10 across the country where it's all these parties that everybody's single and it's normally at a hotel or it's at a big club where later on there's like discounts on hotel rooms. Okay. And none of the, you're not supposed to go if you're married. So I can't go. I'm not supposed to go.
Or if
okay?
you're in a committed relationship.
Or if you're in a committed relationship, probably not a good idea. Right. You're probably going to be broken up right after Valentine's Day. And so a lot of times big groups of women go together and drink quite a bit, and then the next thing you know, there's a sleepover. And the thing is that, you know, that I think the 15th is really like the walk of shame day a lot for a lot of people because it's like, oh my God, what did I do? Other people try to read more into it than it is because you actually slept with this person on Valentine's Day. Some people say, please don't ever call me again.
Yeah, we were meant to be with each other, you know.
And then some people get googly-eyed. Oh, this is meant for each other. It was February 14th. How romantic.
But see, isn't that a symptom of what I would call the Disneyfication of society?
Oh. Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole princess fantasy, you know, type thing. Go, Spencer.
Someone lost their slipper and you happen to find it at the bar on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
They're drunk and their shoes fall off.
You find it and they think, oh my gosh, this is him. This is my Cinderella story. Yeah.
The funnier Cinderella story would be like, honey, let me have that other shoe. Let me see what I look like in heels. Let's check it out. Oh, don't these gold heels make me look good? Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. I can run.
Which, of course, for the male, the correct answer to that is always, you look great, honey.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, especially when you're trying to get something.
Well.
You're not going to point out anything else. You're not going to point out the fact that you lost your shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, how drunk do you think you are? You know, it's more like, oh, honey, let me help you out.
Yeah.
Carry you over the threshold.
Hold her hair while she barfs, you know.
Yeah. Ew! Now I have a limit. Seriously, though, I mean, Valentine's Day is a big day for singles. So think about it that way. I mean, if you're wanting to, like, lose your sadness and go out there, I don't think it's going to benefit you in the end. I think it might actually cause more pain and agony. But, however, you can get your mind off things for a little while.
I mean, you know, Valentine's Day it may be, but it's still a one-night stand. In that case.
True.
And how many committed relationships will happen from a one-night stand?
I don't have those statistics.
You know, I mean, just my gut reaction is not many.
Well,
you know?
The question I'm concerned about on Valentine's Day is who profits more who do they profit more from, the singles or the relationship couples? Because of the relationship couples, do they go out on fancier dates because they're, you know, or is it the singles who, like you said, go out and do these like little party things? What industry really benefits?
Spencer, that's a great question, and I'm going to take a stab at it. I would say the couples because, you know, you look at, especially the one commercial that just drives me nuts, Ashley, is that Vermont teddy bear commercial.
I haven't ever seen it.
But buy her the 4-foot teddy bear and you'll win her heart. You know, all this stuff is geared towards couples, okay?
Yeah.
And you're already together. Could be, you know, for a week or a month or, you know, for a long time. But it's meant for romance between committed couples. And that's, like, I'm going to take my girlfriend out to dinner. And
you're going to take her to dinner on February 14th.
I'm going to take her to dinner on February 14th.
Tonight, you're taking her to dinner.
Yes, as soon as we're done. So
you're going to actually do that?
I'm going to actually do that.
Why?
Because it's you know, first of all, she's romantic, okay? And, you know.
Did you make reservations last year?
Earlier this week.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
You know, it's this nice little restaurant tucked in the corner somewhere. So,
yeah.
So it's a nice little intimate atmosphere.
Okay.
And so she kind of expects it. You know, it's the
fantasy.
You're such
a romantic, Bill. You're the romantic.
Oh,
you just pawning it off on her. It's you.
Well, okay. Yes, I am a bit of a romantic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like I said, my girlfriend, you know, she has this image in mind. Valentine's Day means dinner and, you know, romantic, you know, time together. And
now, if you didn't take her out on Valentine's Day, you just went and did your own thing, how would that end for you?
It would not end well. It would not. And
I'm going to Hooters, and then I'm going to go somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. No, it would not. See, I've already bought the bouquet of flowers. Did not buy chocolate. She specifically requested no chocolate. So I did not buy her chocolate.
But see, but that's what I want to talk about right now, is I want to talk about single, married, and widowed people and how they deal with Valentine's Day, because... Let's start with you, Bill. Talk about it. How long have you been in this relationship?
A year and 3 months.
Okay, a year and 3 months. So is this your second Valentine's Day?
Yes.
What did you do on your first Valentine's Day?
I took her to a nice intimate Italian restaurant and gave her a card and a nice bouquet of flowers.
Okay.
And then we went back to my place.
I bet you did.
I will let the listener's imagination take it from there.
Oh, jeez. You could have painted it a little more. Okay. So are you trying to make this a tradition that you would carry forth after you get married? Or do you think this is courtship until marriage?
Well, I think that I would do this even after we're married. I mean, I think it is part of the courtship process. But I'm of the opinion that just because you get married doesn't mean you stop dating. You know, I mean,
that's true.
Which I think, in my personal opinion anyway, of course, me never having been married before, but in my opinion, a lot of married couples make the mistake of stop dating. You know?
Yeah, but why does it have to be on the specific date, though?
Well, it doesn't have to be, but it's our society has specified St. Valentine's Day as a day to celebrate romance between couples. It's an artificial point in the calendar. It could easily be, I don't know, May 3rd or
June 6th,
August February, August the 21st. You know, pick a day, okay? It just happens to be this, you know, like you said earlier in the show, this Roman saint. It was a Roman pagan holiday that the church grafted this onto, which, you know, the early church did that a lot.
Okay.
And through the centuries, it just morphed and evolved. And here we are today. And it's an artificial point in the calendar, but it's as good as any other day.
But let me ask you a question. Do you think that because of her desire or want to have that, does that dictate that you're doing this? Or do you both feel that you need to give flowers and you need to go to
this restaurant?
It's a little
both. I mean, I want to do it for her.
Right.
I want to do a romantic date, but I can do a romantic date with her anytime.
Okay. But she likes more of the pomp and circumstance on the actual day.
Yes. Yeah. So because I love her and I respect her feelings, then I make the effort for her. I do it for her.
Okay, so you actually put it out there and do it for her. You don't really care that much about the date. You could do it all year long. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
But you know that she cares about that specific date, and it matters to her.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I always get very interested in, is that some people, the date matters so much, and I think it's just the way that we were brought up and how we were schooled and how this concept has been thrown into our brain that this is what you have to do. And others of us kind of see past that to certain degrees, too. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like when you're raised in certain religious sects, you know what I mean? And you deal with this religion and eventually you go, you know what? I'm going to look around and see what's up. I'm going to read about all this various stuff and then I'm going to come up with my own conclusions.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right, actually. It definitely is a societal norm. You know, our American/Western society, like I said, I mean, through the centuries, Valentine's Day has grown to mean a certain thing. And it's just the way our culture, our society operates. Like if I just say the word Independence Day, certain things are going to pop in your mind without being cued, right?
I went like totally like tabula rasa on that. Not one thing came into my mind.
Wow. Okay.
Woo, that was rough. All I could see was Fozzie Bear sitting right there on one of your speakers. And I went, that's like, not right.
It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
No, but it just went right over my head.
But okay.
Right through my eyes.
For most Americans, if you say Independence Day.
Flag.
You know,
flag.
Then flag, fireworks, you know, parades, whatever. If I say
flag.
If I say Thanksgiving, okay, mm-hmm. certain things are going to pop in your mind. So if I go down the street in any city in America, you know, big or small, and I say Valentine's Day, that's going to mean certain things.
I agree with you. When we return, we're going to be talking more about what the singles, what married, and what widow people really feel about Valentine's Day. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about Valentine's Day. What should it mean to you? You know, right before the break, we began talking about the concept and the delineation of what Valentine's Day means when you're single, when you're married, or when you're widowed, and really, what constitutes a good Valentine's Day? Do we care? Do we not care? And all those things. And Bill was talking about, you know, he's been in a relationship for about a year and 3 months. And so it's his second Valentine's Day that he'll be spending right after he leaves here. And he's got reservations. He's, you know, already picked up the flowers. He's ready. And a lot of it is based on the fact that she really likes this date and wants to celebrate, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And you're just wanting to do what makes her happy.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like I'm being forced to do it. You know, I mean, I want to do this for her. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing it, you know, because she puts a lot of emphasis on this date. And so I love her, and I want to do something nice for her.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
And see, I think it's interesting. I know a lot of single people out there that really hate, just extraordinarily hate this holiday.
I do too.
And according to Facebook and Twitter just now, a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people, I can't even use a lot of the words they use to describe what they think about Valentine's Day.
This is a family show.
Even the gestures that are used to describe. I mean, Spencer over here, Spencer Bass joins us, pro BMX athlete. He's been on the show before. And he actually just showed me some stuff that was on Facebook that, well, yes, we would have to censor whatever they were doing with their hands.
And the stuff on their t-shirts, too.
And the stuff that they had on their t-shirts.
Needless to say, you know, when you're single, either like Valentine's Day and you want somebody, or you play the hard-to-get card and you're like, nah, Valentine's Day is stupid. I don't want anything to do with that.
Right.
So it's a mix. It's a Facebook war right now between single and that, and then single and wanting it. So.
Yeah.
See, true.
And I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, Ashley. I think Valentine's Day is more geared to couples. So if you're single, you know, and you're not really in a committed relationship, then it's kind of thrown in your face. And I can see where single people would resent it. Because I never resented it, but when I was single and not in a relationship, I did feel kind of like, you know, it's Valentine's Day. I got no one to spend it with.
So here's a question. You said earlier if, you know, you do just hook up and it's just still a one-night stand, does that still qualify as Valentine's Day? Because isn't Valentine's Day supposed to be with that person you're
interested in?
So would it still really count as Valentine's Day, even though it's on that day? Again, that's just a day with a name and a number. Does that really mean that it's Valentine's Day?
I want to pose a thought out there. For the most
deep
part,
in those
situations, I would have to say that those things happen probably after the 12:01.
Okay.
Into the AM, which would put it on the 15th.
Ah.
I mean, that is just my stroke of genius on that one. For the most part, to be able to be that inebriated, that drunk, to meet up, to take all that time to get to a place or a location to commence the activity, it's probably the following day. I mean, I would think so.
I think you're probably largely right on that, Ashley. I mean, to me, you know, Spencer, Valentine's Day is what you make of it. And, you know, if you're single and you just want to use it as just an excuse for a hookup, well, I mean, you can do that any time. Yeah. But, okay, gee, it's Valentine's Day. Don't need an excuse, but now I've got one.
Wonder what's going on Tinder.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy moly.
Tinder on Valentine's Day.
You know, that could go one of two ways. It could be,
Valentine's Day on Craigslist. Ooh.
Oh, jeez. thanks a lot.
that's a creepier one.
Yeah, thank you.
At least Tinder's a little bit, you know, I feel like that'd be better, but
more mainstream.
Just posting an ad on Craigslist for a Valentine's date.
Oy.
But you know what? I bet there's like two sides to that. One, people are trying to just hook up, or two, people don't want to look desperate because it's Valentine's Day, so it's got a stigma, so people might stay off of it.
But I mean, still, it's Tinder. Like, what makes Valentine's Day Tinder on Valentine's Day different than Tinder on any other day?
People
it's
don't
still
want to look desperate
thing.
Though because they don't have a date. Maybe
so. I think it might backfire on you.
Ooh, it
unless
might backfire.
It's after 12:01.
Unless it's after 12:01, and you know there's a lot of those.
Yeah,
and we know what those are. God bless us all. But yeah, so I think single. When I was single, I'll tell you one thing. I haven't watched TV in a long time. You know that.
Yes.
And when I do watch TV, it's rare, and mostly it's a movie or a documentary or something. And I haven't seen any commercials because of that. Any commercials. So when I was single, though, I remember when you would watch TV. But see, when I was single, I was always either living with somebody. I wasn't ever single. I was always in a relationship.
Right.
Like, there was only, like, a few times when I was single, and I was so happy, so, so happy to be single, like, to be away and not have somebody right there all the time, that I could give two craps about freaking Valentine's Day. And I loved it. I promoted it. All my friends, do what you want. This is great. I have a chance to not have somebody breathing down my neck about where I am and what I'm doing for one time. And I love it. So I haven't ever been single for a long period of time to sit there and long for it. I've always had so many different Valentine's Day. And it was always like one or two, because I normally had the 9 to 12 month relationships. So you got the one. Or depending on how the year wrapped around, you got two. You know what I mean? And then that was it. I mean, it could be a big breakup, too, or it could be the start of a relationship.
Well, Ashley, I'm going to offer you the opposite perspective on that, because, see
do you, so, please.
You are, like, the ultimate people person. I mean, Spencer, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed that about Ashley. She's like, you know, like she's like Will Rogers. She never met a person, you know, she didn't like. Well, actually she has, but you know, we won't go there. Anyway.
I have made up with that, and yeah, I send lots of love.
Okay, there you go. We go
I send a Valentine's
card. On Valentine's Day, Ashley How's loves that? Everybody. There you go.
I send a Valentine's.
But I mean, you're just like the social maven, and you know, you're just one of those people that if you were alone for more than 5 minutes in a day, you would like tear out your hair. That's just the way you're wired. You know, there's nothing good or bad or indifferent about it. It's
but
just
I
the
meditate
way you're wired.
For like an hour a day, though. No, yeah, by myself.
You do. So therefore, to you, being single, like truly single, not even in a relationship, I mean, that was very rare for you, relatively speaking.
It was, at those times, it was nice.
Yeah, but so therefore, it was like you were finally able to catch your breath. Thank goodness,
God,
right?
Yeah.
For me, see, I'm very introverted. And I've actually spent much of my life alone. And
really?
So, therefore, actually having a relationship on Valentine's Day was the exception to the rule. Okay?
Interesting.
And I can tell you that, like I said, Valentine's Day is for couples, for romance. When you're a single person and, you know, you don't have a relationship and it's just constantly for the entire freaking month of February thrown in your face that here comes romance for couples, and you're not in a relationship, it at least for me, I mean, I never resented it, but I definitely felt very lonely.
Well, I can see where you're coming from. I mean, so, you know, coming from that position and coming from that perspective, I totally understand. If I had been single for a long period of time, looking for somebody, looking for Mr. Right,
wishing you had, see, you know, your friends who are either married or had relationships, you know, they tell you about their problems. Oh, this, you know, my significant other, you know, they're griping about it. I'm sitting in the back of my mind. Yeah, I wish I had your problem.
Yeah, I wish I had that problem to you know? To argue about.
Yeah.
I see that.
So for me, you know, because I mean, I'm a late bloomer as far as the relationship, you know, life goes. So I definitely learned to spend, entertain myself, on a lot of Valentine's days.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I have a friend of mine, a close friend of mine that I get to see almost every other day. And it's so funny. He calls this cupcaking season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He calls it cupcaking season. And he talks about how everybody breaks up at a certain time, but then right before February starts, that people start getting back together because it's cupcaking season and nobody wants to be alone on Valentine's Day.
See, a lot of my friends would break up right before Valentine's Day, so they didn't have to do anything for Valentine's Day.
That's
and
hilarious.
And then they get back together and say, sorry, I made a mistake.
Yeah, on 12:01.
Yeah.
And those same friends are going to be out at the bar.
Yeah. That might be true.
Scoping.
Yeah.
Scoping.
And then repenting for sins.
Having a nice adult beverage and hanging out, yeah.
A? How about several?
And meeting all kinds of other adults hanging out.
Yeah.
Of the opposite sex. You know, but, you know, when you think about single life, yeah, you're right. I never really thought about that. And I do have some friends that really, really wanted to have a Valentine's Day. And I was looking at Facebook yesterday, and it was interesting. About three men that I know that are really nice guys, it's their first Valentine's Day with anybody, like, that they really care about. And I think on these three different situations, they actually really love this person, and they're probably going to get married. Like, I see this. I'm a therapist. I know when people have those feelings and stuff like that. So I think that these are, like, the three that these people are going to propose probably eventually. And I see them all getting married. And so in that situation, on that Valentine's Day, and that's a big deal. I mean, I get it. I mean, I've been there before. I had that Valentine's Day, that one where it was a big deal. And we went out and we did the whole dinner and we did the hotel thing and we did all that stuff. And it was fun. And it made a big deal.
Now, do single people want to celebrate Valentine's Day because they want to, or is that because society has told them over time that's what they need to do?
I think it's both.
The TV commercials, like, telling you, like, making you feel like that, making you, you know, want to be a part of that day. When if that stuff wasn't there, would you really care about Valentine's Day still being single?
Great points.
True that. Yeah,
like I said, because most Valentine's Days I've spent single, and it was just thrown in my face.
Yeah,
you know, and I couldn't help but feel lonely because
every TV network you change, Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day, and you're like, come on.
It's like right now, I mean, you know, actually, the reason why you don't know about the Vermont teddy bear thing is because you don't watch TV. I mean, it is on every stinking channel.
Have you seen any Kiss Begins with K? Have you seen those commercials yet?
Well, of course, now that's on 24/7, but
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Every kiss begins with K. That stuff will get in your mind when you're trying to sleep at night.
Yeah, it will.
It's like the Clorox commercial, you know what I mean? God. Anyway, when we return, we'll be talking more about what Spencer just brought up. The fact, is it really something that we are trying to celebrate because we want to, or is it something that we celebrate or desire to celebrate because it's what we're supposed to do? So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we're talking about Valentine's Day. What should it mean to you? Interesting. You know, right before the break, I think Spencer brought up a really cool thought. Is it Valentine's Day when you're single? Do you want to spend it with somebody? Is it because you just love the fact of expressing love? Or is this holiday more thrown at you and you feel like you're missing something because the whole world is talking about Valentine's Day on every TV channel, on every store you walk by, at every grocery store, at every drugstore you walk in? There's an aisle of heart-shaped candies and a bunch of cards, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you look at that stuff. I even know when, you know, I was driving to the studio tonight. And as I'm driving to the studio, I saw all those people that had pitched up those tents out in the middle of parking lots. And they're selling, like, the candies, the cookies, and yep, the teddy bear, and the roses all yep, in one package.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they have them. And some of them are selling them outside of a truck down the street, by the
yep,
way.
Yep,
okay.
Yep, yep.
Lots of trucks down the street. And I get it. I mean, they even have drive-through one that I saw. And so you see all that stuff when you're driving home, and I guess that would maybe kind of get you thinking, man, what do I have? I mean, my life is not that good. Well, I don't have anybody that loves me or cares about me, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Ashley, it kind of comes down to if you're taking like a cultural studies, you know, course in college or whatever, okay?
Oh, yeah, I've taken a few.
You know, it's, you know, all cultures, Western, Eastern, African, you know, whatever, okay? You know, your cultures have things in common. That's how we identify with the culture or civilization that we live in, okay? And part of that is, you know, the types of things that we as a culture want to celebrate. We choose to celebrate these things, okay? You know, religious / secular holidays are events that bring us together as one people, okay? Valentine's Day simply happens to be one of those days in American / Western culture, that somebody a long time ago, you know, took a dart, threw it at the board. Oh, February 14th, good as any, you know, to you know, for some reason we want to celebrate, you know, romance and love. Okay, so now American culture being what it is, you know, where we worship the almighty dollar, for good and for bad, we tend to, you know, take it as a secular holiday and commercialize the bleep and bleep out of it. And so, therefore, what you know, started as a nice little, you know, holiday, excuse to take your significant other out, you know, and now we're, you know, it's this huge, gigantic industry that, I don't know about you, Spencer, but maybe as soon as New Year's is over, bang, you know, it's kind of, it resembles Christmas. I mean, we're not even waiting for Halloween anymore.
Wow.
I mean, they're already selling Christmas stuff before Halloween.
That's true.
So now, as soon as New Year's Day is over, bang, Valentine's Day. Because couples, you know, I mean, especially, you know, men, not to be, you know, too stereotypical about it, but, you know, there's a lot of pressure for men to buy the flowers, buy the chocolate,
buy
the cards.
Oh, come on. I went out and got the chocolates and flowers today.
Well, you and Greg have a special relationship.
No, okay, so let's talk about the marriage thing. So, like, I've been married, and our first Valentine's Day was great. And after that, we don't really do it. And we might give each other a card, but we show each other love, like, throughout the year. That's kind of like our quotient. And I think the longer you've been married, I think in the very beginning of marriage is something that is kind of new and it's cool and, you know, you have somebody and so you celebrate. But when you get past that 5 years, I mean, really, there's an end to that. And I think a lot of people out there know exactly what I'm talking about, especially people listening that are on their 10, 15, 20, 25 year anniversary. I mean, I know I celebrate at home, like we'll make dinner. We'll make a really great dinner and maybe have some champagne or something like that. And I know that I'm paying the same amount as if I paid for a price fix menu where half of it's cold and the other half they ran out of, you know? And yeah, so I'm cool with that. But chocolates, no. I want to keep my figure, even though I just had a box of chocolates a few days ago. And I bought it actually for him, and then I ate all of it.
I was going to say, you binged on that.
He goes, I thought this was for me. And I go, oh, there's one left. And
and you're like, but dear, what's yours is mine,
it's
and mine
your
is
favorite.
Yours.
It's favorite. It's left. Let me pour you a glass of wine so you don't think about the chocolate that I'm going to put in the recycle bin now. But yeah, so I really think that marriage is one of those things where you kind of get over them telling you that this is the day that you're supposed to celebrate. And if you have a good marriage, I think that a lot of times you celebrate that throughout the year. And I think it's interesting. I was looking at Facebook just now, and if you've missed us on any of our past shows or whatever, go to Spreaker and check out Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, as well as comment on Facebook and Twitter right now and give us some comments about how you feel about Valentine's Day. Because I just read one person said that Valentine's Day is the holiday for men that have either cheated to make up for it.
Funny.
And this is a man. This is a man saying it. Uh-huh. And other people are, you know, saying, you know, if you want to get out of the doghouse or whatever, this is the day that you do it. Which makes sense, I guess, to some degree. But I really think that the day itself, if you have to tell somebody you got to do it this day, you got to do, that's fine. But I don't, I'm one of those people, I just don't like people telling me what to do.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't like that. Well, I mean,
but I think you're in the minority of that, though. Because I just, again, you know, from my point of view, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but, you know, it's the whole Disneyfication of society, especially where women are concerned. You know, Disney has force-fed this fantasy of being a princess to, you know, two or three generations of women now. And so and now that a lot of women, you know, expect, okay, Valentine's Day,
but
you know.
They don't only expect it, but they think that the only way that they know that you care about them is if you buy them all this stuff.
Right.
Well, the Disneyfication of, like, you know, the whole princess thing, the way that movie, you know, all that stuff plays out is that's a life for them, not just like a one-time thing. So shouldn't they be a princess or a prince or a king every day, not just that one day of the year?
Okay, you know, true. Should. Okay, you just said the key word there, Spencer, should.
Should, yes.
Okay, I mean,
disclaimer.
There's a lot of things that should be, okay? But
should have, would have, could have, yeah, but you know, I mean, what it is, what it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, what if the sun doesn't come out tomorrow? Well, it'll be dark.
Well, like 8 days a week, like the Beatles song, 8 days a week. I love you, right? 8 days a week to show you how I care. It's not one day out of 365.
Who are the Beatles?
Oh, my gosh. Bang.
No Field of Dreams, no Beatles. You know who the Beatles are, though. Thank God. You got class on that deal. So, no, I mean, you know, like, I like it when people say, who's Jimi Hendrix? It's like, get out.
I know who Pink Zeppelin is, and that's about as far
Pink
as my
Zeppelin. Oh, my God.
Is. Oh, my God.
Whatever, dude.
It's kind of funny, though.
Whatever.
He says it so deadpan, too.
I know, yeah, because for a second,
I know who,
like,
Pink Zeppelin
did you
is.
Really just say that?
I know who Pink Zeppelin is. Oh, and by the way, his girlfriend's 17, too, so we got to remember all this. I'm just kidding.
Just to clear that up, she's 24, so, yeah.
Yeah, Spencer Bass.
He said it as deadpan as he said Pink Zeppelin, I'm telling you.
Spencer Bass in the house. Y'all.
I knew better, but Bill did not know better. This was on break. Bill actually questioned it. So let's talk about real quick about the what widows feel about this, too.
Okay.
Or widowers or widowees or men that are widows or women. And I think, depending on perspective, it can bring up happy memories or it can bring up memories that make you sad because the person's gone. But I think it can bring up happy memories, but it can also make you feel a little lonely, you know, like if you're watching those ads or whatever. And I think you really have to watch your media intake at this time. If you are single and you're really wanting somebody, or if you bought into the whole mantra of Valentine's means that somebody loves you if they buy you stuff, and on the flip-flop, it's kind of like, you know, it can bring up good memories. But I do think, that it should be something that you do every day of the week. And I do think that a lot of people are busy and everything, but are you busy too much to just say, I love you, I care? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take...
Yeah, I mean, I could, not having been a widower before, but I could easily see where, you know, you would think back and say, you know, should have told her I love her more. Should have just taken her to that one place she wanted to go. You know what I mean? You know, being wistful, you know, a little sad. I could see, you know, widows
or
widowers.
Or have taken them to everything and doing everything and then looking at Valentine's Day after they pass and miss those feelings or miss those situations, feel bad, you know, that they're gone.
Yeah.
And it can either bring up good memories, like, oh my God, like funny memories, or it can bring up memories like, I'm so sad, like I don't have anybody, you know, to spend time with.
Right. Well, like you said, like right after New Year's, they instantly start putting up all that Valentine's Day stuff. So I could see it
just
being,
in your face.
Yeah,
whether
you
want it to be or not.
It's right there. So like if you know, if that's really what you're going through, I'm sure you're not just going through it on that one day. It's going to be something that through that whole build up to that until it's over, it's going to be a constant reminder of that stuff.
It's true. And think about at work too. At workplaces, all this whole week, people have been
getting flowers and
balloon bouquets and cookie bouquets and
do they still do the singing telegram thing?
Jewelry.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think they do it. It's kind of a quirky thing. It's not widespread, but I think they still do it. I know at my work, we do the secret Valentine. It's not just secret Santa anymore. It's secret Valentine.
You do secret Valentine?
Yep. The women in the office, I mean, they eat that up.
What do you give? You give kisses or something?
Yeah, like a Hershey's kiss,
I meant like kisses.
Well, okay, so if you're in a relationship, do you still do a secret Valentine?
I mean, I have to explain to her, it's just an office thing.
So, but doesn't that take away kind of the thing behind Valentine's, again, making it all just, a big...
I think it's cool because it looks like elementary school again.
Actually, that's a really great point because, like I said, it's the women in our office that's driving that.
Think about some of them don't have anybody. It's nice to also have a feeling that somebody cares. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be like a love interest. I think it's like some people don't hear I love you or some people don't hear I care about you. Some people don't get a pat on the back, and maybe that's kind of what that means.
So I always get one of those little baggies that has a Hershey Kiss plus the little heart-shaped candy, Be Mine, whatever those are called. So I just, whoever was assigned to me, just write their name on it. Happy Valentine's Day, from your secret Valentine.
It's kind of sad when you think about that, though, because, going back to, kids and how they act when you're younger and you're kind of picking at each other. But at the same time, when you get older, it's still like it takes that one day of the year or those certain days for everyone to kind of, give each other a pat on the back or want to be friendly with each other or be nice and give that smile that you it's not hard to do every day or ask someone how their day's going.
True.
It takes that one, like you said, what's wrong with telling the person you love, I love you every day? Why do you have to do it one day of the year?
Yeah, the reason why I learned that at such a young age, right before we go to break real quick, is my father loved his dad and he never got to tell his dad he loved him before he died. And he died, he had a heart attack, and he died, and when he went to the hospital, he had just passed. And I don't think that I don't believe that there's dimensional changes. I think that you're allowed to talk to whoever, and the message will get through. However, a lot differently. And so it really affected my dad. And so when I was growing up, he would always tell me, love me, because he never knew if he wouldn't get to see me when it would be clear. So stay tuned. We return to be talking more about how to tell others how you love them, more about what is the significance of this holiday, as well as how to talk about love every day of the week. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I am your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we've been talking about Valentine's Day. What should it mean to you? And right before the break, we began discussing, do you think that people put too much significance into this actual holiday? Interesting. I wonder, I look at social media and a lot of people say that it's not worth it, that it's a stupid holiday and this and that. And other people say it's just another day that you can tell people that you love them or you can show them that you love them. And I really think that sometimes people put too much emphasis on the pomp and circumstance, the gift giving, the show. It's about the great show. It's like a dog and pony show. And I think it's almost like the whole concept of the example of a wedding. Think about weddings where you have people that go to the justice of the peace. Think about small weddings that people have. And then you have those weddings that people have that have 1,500 people at it. The gown was $50,000 and it was at the most expensive place in town.
The whole Will and Kate thing, yeah.
Oh my gosh, and it's such a big deal. And then, sadly enough, a lot of times those weddings that people spend so much money on, one, they spend a lot of money and that's foolish,
They
get divorced quick.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that funny?
Because over 50% of marriages end in divorce in this country.
And they put so much pomp into the celebration, not the actual union.
It's more of a show for them rather than it is a relationship.
Well, heck, I mean, they've made reality shows. I mean, that's the level to where it's dropped. Bridezilla,
Bridezilla?
Hey, that was an actual reality TV show.
Oh my god!
Where they found women who will just freak out the most over the little details.
I forget you don't watch TV. You don't know about
that. Not really.
Yeah, it's like
For all those TV sponsors out there, I'll watch whatever you tell me. But right now, I just don't watch that much TV.
But if you give us money to sponsor us, we'll watch whatever you want us to watch.
I mean, do you watch TV at all, Spencer?
I don't really as much watch TV, but whenever I'm traveling on the road, I watch certain series on my computer. I just keep up with certain things.
Like Hulu or Netflix or whatever?
Yeah. Or like, I'll, you know, with, you know, the network I have, I can watch it right after it airs on TV, so I can just, you know, always keep up on my actual shows without actually ever having to watch TV. I don't even have a TV at my house. I just, because I'm traveling all the time on my laptop, I just hook it up to the hotel TV or whatever, and I just watch my shows there.
It's like, I don't have cable or satellite on my home TV.
Well, I have satellite, but I don't really use it.
Although, the times when I watch TV is the home radio station that I'm based at, Ashley. sometimes I have to work overnight.
Yes.
Moving
one of the
right
stations
along.
That we're based at, yes.
You know,
that station.
Well, no, me. I'm talking about me personally. Not this show. I'm talking about me personally.
Yes.
That I'm based at. Sometimes I have to work an overnight shift there. And so that's when I watch most of my TV. I'm just like, you know, trying to stay awake at 2 in the morning.
I feel like, you know, like you said, there's Bridezilla and all that. There's a lot of junk on TV nowadays. And, you know, when it is time for the holidays, they put all those commercials out and all this different stuff to make you want to do that. If I want to watch them, I want it to be what I want to watch, not what they're telling me to watch. So if I'm interested in something, I want it to be that's what I'm interested in, not like, oh, Valentine's Day, make sure you do this.
Yeah,
Christmas,
I mean,
make sure you go buy this.
I'm a big, you know, well, ESPN is one of my favorite stations, but Discovery Channel, History Channel, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing. But even there, like, you know, two or three in the morning, you know, the stupid Vermont teddy bears. It's like, go away.
I know what I'm going to get you next Valentine's Day.
I'm going to kill
teddy bear.
Death to the teddy bear.
It's
okay?
Too late for me to do it this year, but next year you're going to get one. You're going to forget by then. You're going to forget by then because you have ADD, so you're going to forget that I said this, but I'm going to get you one of these really big Vermont teddy bears.
And the hoodie footy. If I see one more hoodie footy.
What the heck is that?
It's, oh my gosh. I'm not even going to waste airtime.
Please don't.
You know, just Google it.
And you know how many people are going to Google that right now just because you said you want to waste airtime? Say that again about my show on Spreaker. We won't waste any more airtime talking about Spreaker, but you can check it out.
Yeah, you know, go watch or go listen to previous
episodes.
Don't
look at any of my shows on YouTube either.
Spreaker,
don't do it. It's not worth
or
it.
YouTube or AshleyBurgess.com.
Don't check me out on social media either. Just
iTunes,
let it go.
Yeah.
You don't need to know. It's no big deal. So do we put too much significance? Yes, I think a lot of times it does, and I think it causes stress on a lot of people. The stress of not being good enough, the stress of not doing enough, the stress of not making the right reservations or spending enough money or buying enough roses. Did I get 3 dozen or was that enough? Some of them are small.
I mean, well, it's, you know, like you said, it is a show. If you work in an office place and let's say, you know, so-and-so got this next to her desk. Well, she's going to go home and tell her husband that the next day, and then he's going to have to be like, oh, well, I've got to order her this so that she can outdo that. And then it's like a back-and-forth war between who got what.
That's true. You know what I would give my wife as a joke if I was married and I was a man? So we're just changing up the subject real quick. If I was a man and I was married, I would buy my wife like 2 dozen of Girl Scout cookies and send them to the office.
That's
so
hilarious.
She could give them to everybody else, you know?
Right.
Or otherwise, I'd have to be opening a double door for her.
I would just buy her like the most horrible gift that no one would want to top or like do anything with. And like she would know it meant something, but like everyone else is like, oh, yeah, I don't want anything like that. I'm just going to...
Yeah, that's Spencer. He's okay, dude.
But actually, I mean, I think you something just occurred to me. I think you accidentally hit upon a serious point here. You know, here we are.
Accidentally?
Accidentally. Here we are in the 21st century, you know, and we're kind of, you know, one of our culture, you know, debates, culture wars, whatever, is, you know, the role of gender, okay? You know, the traditional stereotypes of men and women versus, you know, feminism and all the good stuff. And here we have a holiday that reinforces the traditional gender roles. You know, it's the man that has to...
The man has to court the woman and send the gifts. Okay, so Spencer's showing you pictures of the hoodie footy right
I'm,
now.
I'm going to strangle you,
I'm
going to
buy you the bunny one.
No, I'm going to burn it.
Spencer, I'm going to get you the bunny one, too.
You're talking about gender.
It.
They have a male hoodie footy bunny, if you want.
Do they have a male one, really?
Don't even think about it. Oh.
We're gonna get you one of those.
We could put it on the Vermont teddy bear and then just set it in your chair whenever you walk in the studio.
And I'll have like the hangman's noose ready, you know, and hang the sucker from the ceiling.
You're gonna be hanging us both. Actually, that's probably what's gonna happen.
Probably, yeah.
You're gonna take out your revenge.
If you're lucky, I'll hang you.
And then he'll a revenge guy.
And then he'll never like Valentine's Day again after that.
I was gonna say
we'll taint it forever for him.
I'll have to tell Jen. Sorry, Valentine's Day is out for me. Then she will get revenge on you.
What would you do if you came home and she had a hoodie footy for you at home? Like she got that for you. Like what if you were like, I saw these, they were so cool, surprise.
Well, fortunately the question is moot because she feels the same way I do. because I've asked her. But,
We wanted you to get a hoodie footy.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
You come home after the studio tonight and you're like, all right, let's go out to dinner. She's like, we got matching hoodie footies.
And I'll be like, you can go out by yourself and you can wear it.
All of a sudden, everything changes for Valentine's Day.
I'll see you later.
Valentine's Day is completely
different
now. But
like I said, it's moot because she feels the same way I do. But anyway, to wrap up my point, it's like here we have a holiday that reinforces traditional gender roles. And at least it seems to me anyway, women are totally buying into it.
Well, I mean,
you would think there'd be protests in the streets.
I think some women, I think it's probably like a half and half, but I think most women that have been married, they're kind of past that. I think women that have been in long-term relationships, they're kind of past that. I do think that new relationships probably buy into it a little more. I think if I was single and looking for love, I would probably be buying into it a little more. But I agree with you. It's kind of the gender roles again. You know, like the woman's not going over to her husband's work and giving like, you know, a dozen roses. I mean, First of all, he'd probably be made fun of by everybody in the office, but you know, that is what it is. You know, I'm sure that there's couples, lesbians and what have you that, you know, that do that as
well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's you know, quite frankly, I have to save up for Valentine's Day. You know, I mean, now fortunately, my girlfriend.
Better buy that hoodie footy.
She's for firewood, maybe, but
cupcake season.
You know, it's now. Fortunately, Jen is very low maintenance. Thank goodness. That's one of the reasons I love her. Is that, you know, she does not expect, you know, really elaborate stuff. But you know, I do have the roses and I do have the restaurant picked out and all the good stuff. And you know, it's not cheap.
Well, see, and like you said, you know, it's not cheap, and you have to save up for it. But does that day have to be so expensive? Do you really have to spend all that money to show someone you love them? Sometimes, you know, like you're talking about the big wedding shows that cost a lot, or the small justice of the peace. It's all, I feel like, the meaning behind it. And so society, to actually do something actually like really nice, it's almost like they've made it to where you have to do something expensive, not just a sweet show of affection anymore.
You know, it's funny you asked that, or you said that. You know, I have a friend, Eric and Liza. I've known them forever. They've been married for about 15 years. And beginning when they started dating back in college, the first Valentine's Day, he took her to House of Pancakes. House of Pancakes. And there was nobody there. It was empty. And so they became making that a tradition because they tried to go outside of that and do something else. And they said it was just so awful because people were just doing this and that. And they would try to get you out of your seat as fast as you could, whatever. But now they do that every year as tradition. And they said that now it's getting more and more crazy. Every time they go to House of Pancakes, that the last time they went, it was an hour and a half wait. So I guess people are starting to catch on that you don't have to spend a lot of money. When we return, we're going to talk about what's most important here. It's about how we begin to show love every day of the week, not just necessarily February 14th. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we've been talking about Valentine's Day and what it should mean to you. And now I'd like to pose another comment, another thought, another question, another, I don't know, it's just interesting idea, is how we can actually show love on a daily basis, not necessarily just February 14th. How do we begin to show love to the people we love outside of that day? And I think it begins by telling folks how we feel. Honestly, how do we feel? Telling them how we feel about them, not really worried about how it's going to sound. I mean, why wait until somebody's gone to tell somebody that you love them?
I mean, it sounds just so stinking easy on the surface, but it's one of those things we take for granted, isn't it, Ashley? I mean, you know, that person's in our lives on a daily basis, and, you know, when's the last time that you told them that you loved them? You know, that type of thing. That's something Jen and I think, are really good at. We tell each other multiple times a day, you know, love you. You know, even if it's just a text, because I'm really big, and again, I don't mean to be overly stereotypical, but I'm really big on, hey, sweetie, you know, do me a favor, you know, text me when you get to work, text me when you're leaving.
I respect that.
You know, that type of thing. You know, I'm just looking out for her. But I'll do the same for her. It's like, you know, like tonight, you know, hey, I'm here at the studio now. Holler at you later. Love you. You know, and we do things like that several times a day. And I like I said earlier in the show, just because you're in a committed relationship, just because you're married, doesn't mean you have to stop dating. In fact, I think you should, you know, make an extra effort to do that.
Yeah, date night is important. We do date night.
I mean, even when you have kids, which, you know, I don't have kids.
That changes a lot.
And I've noticed that a lot of successful couples will find a way to have their date night, even if they do have kids, you know, whether it's the, you know, parents watching, you know, or the grandparents, I should say, watching the kids, or, you know, hiring a babysitter or whatever.
This goes back to a comment I made while we're on break, and priority. If something's really a priority, you will make it a priority.
And, absolutely.
You know, everyone says, oh, I'm so busy with this, I can't do this, so Valentine's Day works out good because it's that one day of the year we can do it. Well, but you're doing all this other stuff, why can't you make that a priority? If you really want to make it a priority, you will. Because I'm sure you can find time to
watch a basketball
game or a football game. Why not go on a date with your wife or something like that and make that a priority once a week?
I like that idea. And I think that should be another count. Is like, if you're married or if you have a significant other, spending at least, even if it's every 2 weeks, let's just say that, you do a date night and you actually figure it out and you talk about it beforehand and you kind of plan it, at least to the fact that you're going to get home from work by this time and I'm going to get home by work by that time and we're going to go do this. And if we have kids, we're going to take them to the daycare, you know, that's there down the street, or mom, grandma or grandpa's coming by, or we're going to drop them off over at their house before, or we got a sitter coming over. It's already established. And then, you know, you might not have like the reservations or anything planned, but you actually spend time together doing what you want to do.
I mean, I definitely know people with some crazy lives. Like, you know, I ride professional BMXer, so I travel all the time. My girlfriend, she's a flight attendant. So we definitely have weird schedules. But if we want to make it work to go out on a date night, we will. Like, there'll be times where she'll fly to see me or I'll fly to see her just so we can have that date night. Whereas couples are home together, sitting at home watching TV, but they don't even want to take that time to go out and do a date night. If you've got the time, it doesn't take much. It could be something small, but just taking the actual time
and
to spend time with
the
other person.
It's not like you even have to go out. I mean,
exactly.
you know, do something, you know, get a movie, you know, or order pizza, you know. I mean,
exactly.
The point being is that you're spending that quality time together.
Exactly. Not just sitting there on your phone texting each other while you're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Or texting other people.
Or that one.
When you have real problems when the other person's outside on a conversation.
Right.
And the door's closed.
Yeah.
And they're pacing back and forth and it's not work. But anyway, I agree with you. A lot of times we take things for granted. And I think honestly, you know, if anything, February 14th is a wake-up call. But I think when we take people for granted, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's anything in life. Anytime you take something for granted, though, it usually leaves your life pretty quick. I've learned to realize. You know, you don't realize what you've got till it's gone, and when you've got something good and you take it for granted, it goes pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, taking stuff for granted, and we all fall into the trap, don't we, Ashley? And, you know, we just assume it's always going to be that way and it's always going to be forever. And I think you have to make a conscious effort to not assume those things.
Well, I agree. And I think also a lot of times, you know, like especially even like loved ones that aren't romantic loved ones, we don't always go out of our way to tell them how we love them. And it's not until something bad happens that everybody, you know, rounds up the wagons and gets together and goes, oh, God, grandma or whatever is in the hospital. And it's like, you could have been hanging out with grandma or you could have called grandma, you know, every day and twice on Sunday. But now they're hooked up to a ventilator or whatever it is. And you're like, man, I wish I would have spent some more time.
It's really, you know, it's the same thing as, you know, school or work or anything. How hard is it to, you know, tell someone, hey, how are you doing? I hope you have a good day. Like, it's that same thing. It doesn't take a lot of breath to tell someone how you feel or, like, you know, brighten someone's day. But in this day and age, we don't take the time to do it at all.
And we have to. And I think the only way you start doing that is to actually mentally do it.
Yeah.
Consciously do it. Set out and say, okay, when you get home tonight, if you're out and you get home, tell your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whoever's there, mom, dad, whatever, how much you love them. If you care about them, you know, tell them. I mean, and even if some people don't know how to say it back, because there will be people that don't know how to respond back.
Yeah.
Realize that you're gonna realize that over time, if you haven't been saying this and this is new, it's gonna be like you're gonna be like teaching them. And so, for example, you know, like when you drive down the street and you wave at that neighbor that kind of always looks at you but never waves back, and you constantly wave at them every single time you see them, and right before you finally stop doing it because you're so sick and tired of never getting a wave back,
they wave.
Guess what? They wave. And it might be in their small way, it might be in a big way, but they wave and they actually try to crack a smile, and you realize that you've kind of trained them and educated them that you care And all of a sudden they realize somebody cares, and eventually they put this to action and show it back. And so that could be the same thing in your household. Somebody might have it hard or difficult to say, I love you.
Yeah.
And so bear with it, but realize that when you give out love, you also get love back. It's not something that's taken from you and then you're naked. You actually show the power and the conscious level that you're at when you show another person love.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't feel like it's, you know, like you said, you know, you're training and this, that, and the other, but some people might take that as you're having to force yourself. But while you're doing that, you're not really forcing yourself. You're just reminding yourself of what you lose track of. So many people get caught up in the day-to-day life of living and they don't.
Yeah, all that stuff's just like right in front of your face and you don't see anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly. So yeah. It's not that you're forcing yourself to do that. It's what you were doing before. You just got so caught up, you forgot about it. You're more like training yourself to remind other people.
And to show people that you see them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm aware that you're there. I'm aware of your existence. Even if it's a stranger, I'm aware of your existence. I see you. I mean, and that's something that's important to me is like, stop going through life unconsciously, walking with your head down, not making eye contact, not saying hi. I mean, you can really add to somebody's life just by showing them that you know they exist and you acknowledge the fact that they're there.
I mean, I can definitely remember several times, you know, airports especially, where I'm just looking down at my phone. Somehow I'm not walking into people, but not making eye contact with anyone, just doing my own thing.
Yeah.
And then I get to where I'm going. And
you have no idea how you got there.
Exactly. And it's like all that time I could have just, you know, given someone a nice little friendly nod or just like the smallest gestures go a long way. But in this day and age, you can be standing right in front of somebody in the same room. And you don't even know there's someone there.
Yeah, which, you know, Ashley said earlier, I have ADD, so sometimes I do that anyway. But, yeah. You know, so it's like, how did I get here?
Forgive me, Bill.
But yeah, it's you know, sometimes take your face out of the phone and look around you and see what's there.
I agree with that. Spencer, this has been a great show.
Yes.
It has. Thank y'all for having me again.
We're going to have you back.
I would hope so.
Awesome.
You passed the imaginary test.
I mean, in fact, we may meet you right off the plane one of these days.
There we go. That'd be cool.
With one of those footsy things. What is it?
Oh. Don't tell her. Don't tell her what it is.
It's called a hoodie.
No. Don't tell her what it is.
We're going to get him a hoodie footy that says BMX all over it.
That's actually the new sponsor of the show, hoodie footy. So you guys have to wear those there all the time.
I quit.
I'll wear the bunny one when we come to pick you up.
I resign.
And the bunny one has a big circle, like so it really pronounces the stomach area, which is great for women. Bill, awesome show, by the way.
It was an awesome show. Thank you.
I loved it. And by the way, there's always time for love. You know, it's the only real thing. So act on love daily and connect with your higher self. You have nothing to lose, but guess what? You only can lose fear and unhappiness. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.